You're listening to CJSF at 90.1 FM in Burnaby, where you can engage with us via our website at cjsf.ca or on our social media, which is CJSF Radio on TikTok and Blue Sky, or CJSF Music and CJSF Talk on Instagram.
Talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning and welcome to Intravenous. On CJSF 90.1 FM, you are listening to Campus and Community Radio broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem Nations. I'm your host, Nicole Hines. I hope you are doing well this morning. It was a lovely journey into work today. The sun is shining, the temperatures are grand, so I hope it is great in your part of the Lower Mainland. Now, to kickstart the show, I am going to share an interview that I did recently with Simone Saunders, a registered social worker, therapist, digital creator, and founder of The Cognitive Corner. The Cognitive Corner is a culturally responsive, trauma-informed mental health practice based in Calgary, Alberta. And I'll share how I was able to connect with Simone in our conversation. Let's take a listen. Okay, and I am just going to try it over in another area and just kind of see if we can listen to our conversation. I think I'm going to spill the beans, though. I tend to, if you've been listening to Intravenous, as well as another show that I host here at CJSF, you would have heard that I find a lot of my stories, etc., on scrolling through the TikTok streets. So I am really happy that I was able to stumble on Simone. And, you know, let's hear our conversation.
This is Nicole with CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasting in Burnaby, and I'm here with Simone Saunders with the Cognitive Corner, and I am really, really looking forward to our chat today. Simone, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I just want to preface that I stumbled on you through TikTok, through the TikTok streets. I saw a really, really great TikTok, and I love what you guys are doing. So if you wouldn't mind kicking off the questions with letting the listeners know a little bit about the Cognitive Corner and how, how it got started.
Absolutely. So the Cognitive Corner is my group psychological practice. So we officially, the Cognitive Corner started in 2021, but I started my social media presence in 2019, in December 2019. And since then, it's really started to grow. The point of it was I really wanted to provide psychoeducation in a way that was digestible for people, because I think when we think about therapy and mental health and all of the tools and resources around it, a lot of times they're created for other clinicians, or they're created with so much jargon that it's hard for people to understand if they're not in the field. So part of the reason for creating a social media presence was in order to spread some of that knowledge, because therapy also can be inaccessible for people. So from there, the Cognitive Corner started in 2021. And the idea behind it was I wanted to create a space that, regardless of your identity, your background, where you come from, you could find a therapist that's able to integrate that into your therapeutic care, because I think that's something that is often missed. And sometimes therapy services can, paint people with the same wide brush. And I want to make sure that all of the different pieces that make you who you are, that contribute to the way that you show up in the world, are integrated into your mental health care.
Absolutely. And what services are offered?
Yeah, we primarily do one-to-one therapy. We have couples therapists. We do some family therapy, some children's therapy. We also do workshops, and we also do community events. And that's more local in Calgary. But the idea behind them is that I believe that healing doesn't happen in isolation, and therapy isn't always the end-all be-all. And I think we all need more community, and it can be really challenging sometimes to find people who are aligned and maybe on the same journey. And so the idea behind those events is to connect people and ideally create more community for people.
Absolutely. And I mentioned earlier at the top of our conversation that I stumbled on your practice through TikTok. And one of the things that I loved is the space. You know, I personally used to live in Calgary, and you have a really, really sweet looking space. And I'm curious, like, what has the journey been to get into the space that you're in now?
Yeah, it's been long, and it's been a labor of love, I will say. We started in a single office space in sort of a shared co-working office. And then we moved into our previous space, which was a three office space. And now finally in this space where we had a lot more creative control to do renovations and all the different things. And so we are in year 5.5 almost of the business, but yeah, I'm definitely proud of the space. I really wanted it to feel homey and welcoming and warm and be something that contributes to making people feel safe when therapy is already something that feels really vulnerable.
Absolutely, guys. I mean, honestly, I'll be plugging the website so that you can, you know, find the Cognitive Corner online. And then definitely I'm going to be linking the TikTok page for sure, because it is so, so fun. One of the other things that I wanted to ask about are some of the areas of focus that is also offered. For example, like I took a peek, and I love the fact that, I mean, I don't love the fact that this is something that has to be addressed, but the fact that racial trauma is something that, you know, I could come to your practice and speak with someone about. Are there some other areas that you want to mention that, let's say, someone's listening? And
yeah, definitely. I think racial trauma was one of those, one of the pieces, especially as for myself as a solo clinician, that I started to really pick up on, because my specialization was trauma generally and childhood trauma. And in doing that work, I noticed that there's these specific intersections where nobody really specialized in it. And it was really important for us to note that on the website. So we specialize in a lot of different things like trauma, PTSD, depression, racial trauma, as we mentioned, sexual health and intimacy, chronic illness, body disconnection. So there's so many different aspects that we specialize in depending on each therapist.
Absolutely. And I mentioned that you are based in Calgary. And does that mean that Calgary is the only area that you service?
No, so we service folks Canada-wide. I almost said worldwide. Canada-wide. And so multiple of our therapists are registered in multiple provinces. So we serve BC, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, pretty much everywhere.
Love it. And how many therapists do you currently have right now on for someone to be able to access?
There is 9 of us.
Oh, love
10, including myself.
Oh, love that. Yeah. So guys, options. I love that. And if you wouldn't mind, I am someone brand spanking new who, you know, is seeking out a therapist. If I go to your website, what are one of the first things that you recommend that I did if I wanted to connect with you guys?
I would say our matching quiz. So we've developed a matching quiz that goes through some of the things that might be important to you, like where you are living, whether or not it's important for you to have a therapist of color, any insurance sort of specifications that you might need, or licensing specifications, and then generally also some of the things that you're looking to work through. And then that matches you with a potential therapist, and it can tell you whether the therapist is accepting new clients or not, a little bit about them, where they direct bill to, if that's something that's necessary, and a little bit about their personality as well. So I would say that's the first starting point, because I think for a lot of people, they get really overwhelmed at seeing, okay, how do I choose which therapist and which modality and all of that? So I think it takes a lot of the guesswork out of that.
Absolutely. I asked that question specifically because I did see that option, and I wanted you to be able to share that, because I think that that is something unique that you don't necessarily see from practice to practice, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I think that is really awesome. Now, one thing, I'm going to go back to the cognitive corner in a hot second, but I do want to talk about something else, because I recently learned that you wrote a book.
Yes.
And it is called Where Do You Feel That in Your Body? Can you tell us a little bit about the book and, like, you know, who it's for?
Yeah. So the book, Where Do You Feel That in Your Body, is a book based on somatic therapy, meaning connection to the mind and body. So the premise of the book is that there is so much psychoeducation out there, which is so important. But I think where a lot of people get stuck is, I might have some of the knowledge, but it doesn't feel actionable. Or even when I know the coping tools, I'm not able to actually implement it in the moments where I'm stressed or I'm triggered or whatever it might be. And we're seeing sort of like these repeat behaviors, or this repetition in our lives that we're not necessarily fond of. So the book follows what's called the phasic trauma treatment model, which starts off with sort of safety and stabilization. So that's sort of the psychoeducation piece of helping you understand what's happening in your body, what's happening in your nervous system. Why do you do the things that you do? The second portion is the processing portion, which takes a look at the reader's identity. So it goes through different things like gender, race, neurodiversity, body, all of those different pieces to understand, how has your identity either increased or decreased your access to being regulated? And then the third portion is about that integration. So what do I do with all this information? How do I implement it into my life in a day-to-day basis?
Wow. And where could we get the book? Like, where is it? Is it available now?
As of August 25th, it will be available in all retailers.
Hey, I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's so awesome. We are officially airing this on Wednesday, the 26th. So you guys are going to be able to get it. Look at life.
Amazing.
Look at life. And another thing that I noticed is that you are going to be doing a book tour starting as early as when we're airing it, actually.
Yeah.
So, where are you going to be? Tell us a little bit about some of the cities that you're going to be at.
Yeah, so we are kicking off in New York, and then we will be in Toronto as of the 27th, 28th. Mm-hmm. And then we will actually be in Vancouver on Saturday, September 12th, and then come back to Calgary for the 20th.
Love that. And guys, I will include all details and links and stuff like that. So in case you are walking in the streets as you're listening, no stressing, we go. Put all that info in the show notes. So I'm really, really looking forward to that, because it looks so great. Gosh, I'm already coming to the end of our conversation. My main question before I let you go is, how can we connect with the Cognitive Corner online?
Yeah, so from a social media standpoint, mm-hmm. we are at the Cognitive Corner basically everywhere. If you're looking for my profile, I'm Simone C. Saunders, basically everywhere. And then if you're looking to connect with us for therapy, then you can go to our website, which is www.thecognitivecorner.ca.
Love that. And again, I will include all those links. And one last question before I let you go. Is there anything that you might have missed that you want to share about the Cognitive Corner, especially for people who are hearing about you guys for the first time?
I guess the last thing that may be relevant for some folks is we developed sort of a sister brand, which is called the New Therapist Network. And it is a network for newer therapists and mental health clinicians to go through a lot of the things that you might not have covered in school and some of the things that feel like you may have gotten skipped. And so things that are like clinical resources, as well as understanding the business and career landscape of therapy.
Love that, guys. Okay. All the links, all the things are going to be in the show notes again. And I want to thank you so much for joining me today, Simone. It has been
such
a pleasure. If you're in Calgary, the Cognitive Corner is located at 5 Richard Way Southwest, Unit 206.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Canadian Human Trafficking Hotline is now live to help victims and survivors get vital social and emergency services. If you need help or want to help stop human trafficking, call 1-833-900-1010.
This is Bird Note. I'm J. Drew Lanham, an ornithologist, naturalist, and writer. Names are important as they help us tell one thing from the next. My name is Drew. What's yours? Easy enough. Birds aren't so simple. Or rather, we've complicated things that could be simpler. Take my grandmother Mamatha's redbirds. They became northern cardinals and cardinalis cardinalis as I learned more about proper scientific nomenclature. But some days, even with lots of degrees attached to my name, they are redbirds again. And so on, with yellow-billed cuckoos back to rain crows calling out before a storm. Great-horned owls back to cat owls because of those feather tufts that look like ears. And juncos that arrive in the fall back to snowbirds. In other words, my grandmother had her own ornithology, her own names for birds. I have mine. Each of us can build our own ornithology and our personal names for these creatures. Keep it simple. What stands out to you about these birds? Once you have a name that means something to you, you'll never forget it. For Bird Note, I'm J. Drew Lanham.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Intravenous. Before the break, we heard my chat with Simone Saunders, founder of the Cognitive Corner. She will be in Vancouver on September 12th for the Where Do You Feel That in Your Body book launch and somatic workshop. The location is at 138 13th Street East, Suite 500 in North Vancouver, and the link for tickets will be in the show notes as well. You can also stay informed with the Cognitive Corner by visiting www.thecognitivecorner.ca. And before I get into the next interview, here are a couple of songs that I stumbled on in our digital library last week, starting with Beatrice Deer, a Canadian Inuk singer from Kwaktuk, Quebec, with the song The Bear.
Thank you. understand this love.
Alone with hurricane.
the scar yet. Wish I had it in me to restart it. Wish I had it in me to restart it.
Welcome back to Intravenous. You've been tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territories. I just want to run through the two songs that we just heard again. Beatrice Deer kicked off the set with the song The Bear, and I, Jordan, followed up with the track Without You. Now, the next interview that I am going to be sharing today is one that I did with Susan Blacklin, an advocate for Indigenous rights and author of Water Confidential and Water Justice. Let's take a listen.
This is Nicole with CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting in Burnaby, and I'm here with Susan Blacklin, advocate for Indigenous rights and author of Water Confidential and Water Justice. Thank you for joining me today, Susan. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Nicole, and thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. I tend to find a lot of stories through my scrolling on TikTok, and it was a creator that talked about the first book that I have a question to ask you about. You are the author of two books that I mentioned in the intro, but your first book was the 2024 memoir, Water Confidential, Witnessing Justice Denied, The Fight for Safe Drinking Water in Indigenous and Rural Communities in Canada. Would you mind talking about the book and share what prompted you to write it?
Well, it was part of my life that when I moved on and created a new life for myself, I really didn't tell people about it. I kept silent for probably 10 years. But then at the beginning of COVID, the federal government brought in Bill, I think it was C-61 at the time. And that was supposedly giving Indigenous people their rights to responsibility for their own drinking water. When I saw how that bill was proposed or written, it infuriated me because I could not see how they could possibly convince them that this was giving them their rights to govern their own water. What they were giving them was a huge liability for their own water. Mm. And as COVID came and everybody sort of hunkered down, I took a year and just sat down and wrote my own memoir of my own experiences at that time. My husband back then had passed away, and but we worked tirelessly for 15 years. And we were able to bring First Nations in 40 different communities, truly safe, state-of-the-art water treatment processes, which are still working absolutely perfectly today under very proud and dedicated water